Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome back to Your Career Podcast. If you ever feel stuck in your career, or you need a little clarity in order to manage your career moving forward, or you're looking for a new job, visit janejacksoncoach.com. I've plenty of free downloads for you and a lot of career management support that will help to set you well on your way.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Every once in a while, we meet someone who's really special and a warm and wonderful person. Now, Warwick Merry is one of those warm and wonderful people, and his clients refer to him as Australia's best MC. Now that's a big call, but as we know, the customer, of course, is always right, and even Wikipedia has an entry for him under Voice of God. So why is Warwick a master MC? He knows that the event is not about him. It's not even about the speakers. Each event is all about the delegates. In his role, he knows that he has to manage their energy levels throughout the event, show them why they should be interested in the speakers, and ensure that the organizers' aims are met. He's hosted three-course meals on the Great Wall of China, gala dinners in Dubai, and on multiple occasions in TEDx Melbourne. Now, you're bound to laugh, have fun, and celebrate the success of your next event with Warwick at the helm. And today, I'm very fortunate to have him on the show. And now, let's welcome Warwick Merry to the show. Hi, Warwick.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Jane.
Oh, I've been really looking forward to talking to you, so I'm delighted that you're here. And as you know, Warwick, this podcast is all about careers and transition, and you've had some amazing transitions, and some of them are just so much fun. Can't wait to have a chat. But how about to kick us off? You tell us a little bit about your early days and what your career aspirations were when you were perhaps a little boy?
Yeah, it's really interesting. In the background of preparing for this, I was thinking about what was it that I wanted to be when I grow up? And I think, you know, I had a lot of the fleeting things you do when you're younger, but I knew what I didn't want to do. I grew up, I'm the son of dairy farmers, so I knew I was not going to be a farmer. And because it just was, it wasn't fun as a kid. Because, you know, farmers only have kids because they want free labor. And funnily enough, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, we actually bought a rural property as a weekender, and my family cannot stop laughing at the fact that I have bought a farm, or that we have bought a farm. So it is quite funny. It was a really weird one growing up. I didn't have much of an idea, and I had friends who were like, oh, I'm going to be a pilot and someone else is going to be something else. And it wasn't till I did work experience at the end of year 10 for Hewlett-Packard. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a small country town, and so I had to travel to the city for the week to do work experience. And at the end of the week, they offered me a job. And I knew that I wanted to finish my year 12. But I thought, oh, well, they offered me a job, so maybe IT's for me. And so I sort of, doing that, fell into IT. When it came time to go to university, chose to study IT because, you know, they got paid okay and I could do it. But I wasn't quite sure, so I did a double degree with accounting as well, just in case, to have a second string to the bow. So, you know, that was sort of what it was going to be growing up.
And so that's how your career actually started, because obviously, you know, I know you a little bit and I've been stalking you on LinkedIn, as one does before podcasts. And so you had quite an interesting career path with HP and EDS, and you went down that IT programming route. You joined Oracle after that.
Yeah. So I spent just under 10 years in the IT industry. So 9 with EDS and 1 with Oracle. And EDS was interesting in that they do all the, well, they don't exist anymore. They did all the IT work for bigger corporations. They got bought out by General Motors. Mm. And so I was very fortunate with EDS. I'd worked all over the place. So I'd worked in Queensland on Compass Airlines Mark II. Remember them? So I was working on that. I was the seventh last person to walk out the door when they collapsed. I worked in Dallas, Texas for 12 months at their marketing studio. I worked for General Motors. I worked for Telstra. All and Uncle Toby's. I lived in Albury for a couple of years. So I got some really good experiences with it. And then went and worked as the account manager for Telstra, which was at Oracle, which was interesting. But I finally got to the point where I basically decided I had too much personality for IT.
I think you were right. That's for sure. So that was back in 1999, right?
Yeah. So I finished up in 1999 working in the IT industry. Yeah.
So what prompted the change? Did you get bored, or did you think this is just not me?
I'd done a lot of personal development and really considering that, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I love what the philosopher Kierkegaard says, which is life has to be lived forwards but understood backwards. Mm. And so at the time, what had happened is my wife at the time, because I've upgraded to a different one now, she came home from a conference, was talking about this keynote speaker who just happened to be Amanda Gore, who's now a friend of mine, and raving about this speaker. And I thought, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want to stand up in front of people and inspire them and energize them. But I have no idea what I want to talk about. But I knew that the process was what I was after. And I'm a huge believer in professional associations. So I went to the Yellow Pages. Remember those, boys and girls? Mm-hmm. Went to the Yellow Pages and looked up what was then the National Speakers Association, and now it's Professional Speakers Australia. Mm-hmm. And typically you'll go along to a couple of meetings and then decide to join. Well, I just sent a check off straight away and joined because I thought, well, this is what's going to happen. And my plan was to stay at Oracle and start a speaking business on the side. And very early on, I gave a 5-minute presentation because it was 1999. I worked in IT, didn't know what to talk about. So what do you talk about? Y2K. So I gave a 5-minute presentation on Y2K, and a guy came up to me afterwards and said, you're really good. How about you run my workshops for me and then do your own keynote stuff on the side, and I'll pay you a minimum advance commission? And I'm like, well, how can I not? And so talked about it with my wife at the time and resigned from the IT job and then started. And that was almost 20 years ago, and haven't looked back.
Yeah, that was a brave move, though, to go from what most people would consider to be permanent, secure employment.
Correct.
And making the decision yourself to go into something completely different and down that entrepreneurial route. This is when you started the business called Merry Mentality?
Correct. Yeah.
That sounds really interesting, because you were doing workshops and retreats and presentation coaching. Tell us a bit about that.
So the shift at that stage, and it was really interesting. It was an easy decision and a hard decision to go at the same time. In that, for me, I was like, well, I was trying to build it on the side, and all of a sudden, here's a way of escalating and happening faster. How could I not? How could I not do it? Yet, many of my family members would say, "Oh, stay in IT. It's secure. It's this. It's that." And I've got to tell you, in retrospect, that company no longer, Oracle, who I was working for, has got bigger, but they've retrenched a lot. The IT industry has really evolved. So it wasn't as secure as what they'd hoped. But I was like, I had to do it. Like, that's what I was going to do. You know, as I said before, you got to live it forward but look backwards. And for me, I had been school captain, so I was on stage every week giving a report. I had a radio show, an amateur radio show. I'd done a lot of amateur theater. I'd emceed all of my friends' 18th, 21st birthdays, started to do their weddings. So looking back, of course, it was like, oh, yeah, but I couldn't see it at the time. And so Merry Mentality was a play on my surname. Surname's Merry. And my wife and I at the time were talking about it, and she actually left her job and came to work for the business as well for a whole variety of reasons she left. So I was doing the one-to-many, and she started coaching, and she was doing one-on-one, so it seemed to sort of work okay. And so, yeah, look, we had a whole lot of fun and did some really cool things, and then ultimately moved to Queensland because things were a little bit rusty in the marriage. So we thought, we'll move to Queensland. That'll fix everything. And funnily enough, didn't. And so I left the marriage, left the business, left and came back down to Melbourne and reestablished under my own name and also Getmore. And the whole concept for Merry Mentality was looking at work style, where your work plus your lifestyle equals your work style. And people weren't really ready at that stage to talk about work-life balance. There was talk about it. They knew it was needed, but people didn't really want to pay for it from a corporate level. So it just evolved.
I mean, that was quite fascinating. So moving back and forth and multiple transitions. So not just a career transition, but city move and then relationship transitions as well. I mean, you must be a master of resilience. You must be very, very resilient.
Well,
because that's quite a lot of tough stuff to get through. Yeah,
look, it is, but it's like, I got to tell you, it's compared to everyone has stuff that they've got to face. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's internal, and we do the best we can. And I had some really good support people around me, and I was, you know, talking to other friends who had been through divorces before. It was very hard going through a divorce and leaving the business as well. So it's not like I had some constancy in my life. I've just was a complete shift. But my sister very generously offered for me to live on her couch, and so I was sleeping on her couch down in Melbourne, in Port Melbourne, and so I was living, you know, high life. I'd be out walking down the street in Port Melbourne, but you know, it's, and I tried back then. I thought, well, I'll just get a job. I'll go back to get a job. I don't have to worry about chasing the business. It's just too hard. I don't have my head in the game. I'll get a job. No one would employ me because I'd had 6 years working for myself, and I was having recruiters go, nah, you're going to be hard. People won't want you because they don't think you'll be able to take direction because you've worked for yourself too much. And I thought, oh man, I'm good. I can help. And the other challenge was I really liked what I was doing as a keynote speaker, and I wanted to do more of that. So to go back to corporate in roles that I didn't really know what I wanted to do in corporate. When I was younger and in EDS, I went to some recruiters thinking I need to change. I'm just not enjoying this, but I didn't know what I wanted. And so they couldn't help me because they're like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. I just hate this. This is giving me the irrits. I want to do something different. So there was a real learning there in that you've got to choose what it is you want to do and then go after it. You can't just say, well, I want to get away from this. You've got to go towards something.
You know, that's a really good point, because so many people, when they're going through a transition and they wonder why they're not of interest to recruiters, it's because they're giving them mixed messages. And so you're thinking, oh, maybe I should get a job, but I really don't want to. So they could pick up on that, and they knew. I think it's very lucky that you decided to continue down your own path, because now, having stalked you, as I said, on LinkedIn, you also ended up being host of TEDx Melbourne. Okay, so that was great, kudos to you. You became over the years the national president of the Professional Speakers Association too. So you threw yourself just 100% into something that you really loved.
Yeah. And so it was, I had to have the humility to do what it took. And so what that meant was I ended up, when I was sleeping on my sister's couch, because I thought, this is not fair to her, I needed to bring in money. So I got a job in a call center. And so I was working in a call center just because I had to pay rent and I had to pay bills. And walking out of the marriage, I walked away with debt and she walked away with everything else. So it was an interesting, and for a whole, I'm not going to go into that, but it was just, I had debt to support. And so it was like, I had to do what it take. And, you know, that was a really humbling and key lesson as well, that sometimes you've just got to be prepared to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic experience as well. And I learned a whole lot. And so from there, I ended up having a couple of contracts for other organizations, consulting around customer service based on stuff that I learned in the call center and my previous work. And then went on, and yeah, I've now hosted TEDx Melbourne, I think it's 4 times. And like once really early on, I think it was the second or third iteration of TEDx Melbourne, very, very early on, where we were in a dodgy area and there weren't many people, to the most recent one was at the Melbourne Convention Centre, where there was like 1,500 people. So, you know, that's been good. And again, I still believe in professional associations. So I've just finished up my 12 months as National President of Professional Speakers Australia, but I've also spent 5 years on the board. And you know, I'm a big believer in being of service, and so I've always done that and continued to do that to members of the association and to some of the existing board members who want to speak, you know, the ex-president, and have a conversation about, you know, because I know a bit of the history. And it's all part of, you know, committing to the industry. I can't just commit to myself. I have to, how can I make the industry stronger? Because that in turn will reflect well on me and my business. But it's that sustainability. So that's why it's always been a real focus.
And also, it sounds like you're like a serial entrepreneur as well, Warwick, because you've got the Exhibition and Sponsorship Institute, if I said that correctly, yes, and you're the Chief Exhibiting Officer. So what's going on there? What is this? What is this?
So a speaking colleague and I were together talking about things, and I spent 12 months in a permanent trade show in Dallas, in Texas. And I had, with Merry Mentality, we had actually sponsored events all around the world for the International Coach Federation, and my ex had created a product and we would sponsor and sell that there. And so I actually knew a heck of a lot about exhibiting and sponsorship. And my business and my speaking colleague, she also in her business had done a lot of that. So we got together and we created the Exhibiting and Sponsorship Institute and made a real effort there to get out there and share the messages, because I love exhibiting. Like, I've got to tell you, it's shooting fish in a barrel. It is one of the most cost-effective ways to market. And most people are absolutely horrendous at doing it. And while it's something that I still do and I still work around, it fits in very nicely with the MC work that I do. It's a very, very hard sell, because most organizations you talk to go, oh, we've been doing that for 20 years. Don't need to tell us what to do. And so it's taken a bit of a step back, and I've created some great products around it, and I write different articles, and I do consult around it, but it's not a primary focus of what I do. But it was a great joint venture opportunity that we started up, and my business partner, she's now gone on to do a few other things as well. But it's still there lingering in the background.
And you know, you're a professional speaker and you're very sought after and you're great on stage. I just love your stage presence. And you also have a podcast called Get More Success, which is a very successful podcast too. But there's something else that you do that I'm really interested in. And this is your work with Impro Melbourne. Okay, because I love improv. I'm no good at it myself, but I really like watching when people do it, because you've really got to be very sharp in order to be able to capture the attention and actually have something really interesting or funny happen during improv.
Yes. So for me, there's always skills that you use every day that are important to develop. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of Robin Williams, he has always been one of the masters at improv. And I started studying improv about 10 years ago with Impro Melbourne, and they are probably, they're Australia's oldest improv troupe, and they're probably one of the best reputations out here. And they've got several shows happening at the moment, which are just fantastic. And so I started studying with them and did all these core foundations, elements of workshops, and then there's workshops that you do and then perform. And so I've actually been performing with them as well. And it's just so helpful. And the more I study improv, the more I find it closely aligns with leadership techniques. There are so many strong leadership techniques that will just find their way straight into improv, because most leaders will study some kind of leadership, but then it's on the moment when you're confronted by a staff member or a team member who says, oh, I need help with da-da-da-da. It's how you respond, and you can't go, let me check my leadership books. You know, and so there is a lot of the improv work about, the focus is about, how do I make my partner look good? And, you know, how do I get the right answer? The concept of yes and is an underlying one. So you're actually building on what's going on, not cutting them down. So I find that improv is a very valuable thing. And a lot of people, when they talk about improv, think about funny and how funny it is, like whose line is it anyway, and theatre sports. And improv is very, very funny. But improv can be so emotional. Like, I've seen some great shows and some great performers where, like, I'm in tears. Like, it is that effective. And it's that willingness to really be present. And I've got to tell you, it's really helped me with my emceeing on stage. It really helped eliminate any fears of, oh my God, what if something happens? Because I now have the skill sets to be able to, no matter what happens, I've got it handled. And I've had some weird and wonderful things happen on stage. And it's like any muscle, the more you use it, the better it becomes, the stronger it becomes. So that's why I'm a continue to be a student of improv. And it is truly an enjoyable art form as well.
I think it helps so much when you're thinking on your feet as well. And when you're doing your MC work, then having that talent to be able to.
And part of that is also to stop thinking on your feet and just react. And because what that, because sometimes what happens, and I've seen it happen to some speakers and I've done it myself as well. I think too much and all of a sudden I'm going down the rabbit hole and I'm like, there's a big pause and people are waiting for something. Like, oh, it's me. I've got to say something. And so you've got to come back and be present. So it is about just going, whatever comes up, that's where you go and go with it and make something fabulous out of that.
Well, Warwick, you know, tell me a little bit more about the Get More Success podcast.
Certainly. So I actually started my first podcast. It would have been about 10 years ago. It was when podcasting had first come out. And my podcasts were like little 5 to 7 minutes, little bursts. And I put a lot of effort into them. I got no traction at all. So I just gave up on it. Now they've podcasts have returned again, and I've always been a fan of the audio format because I love the sound of my own voice. And I look, you know, I got to be honest. You know how some people, they listen to themselves on answering machines, go, oh, it's me. Oh my God. Oh yuck. And I'm like, oh, I love that. That's great. You know, hi, it's Warwick Murray here. I'm back and I've got a new car. You know, so I just, and I've always played with silly accents. You know, when I used to have a landline, we changed the phone machine and sometimes I'd answer the phone and just go, hi, you've called Warwick. He can't get to the phone right now. And, oh, yes, he can. Here he is. And people go, hello, hello. So, you know, that I love the power of voice. But in the work that I do now, and I speak a lot about success and I have mentees that I work with to how to have achieve more success in their life. One of the things that I find most people don't understand is what is success? Now, I see a lot of this and it's I'm almost exhausted because I'm looking at LinkedIn and social media and everyone's got quotes and motivations and you can do better and more and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, can you just be and understand what is success for me? And so that's why I started the Get More Success show, because what I wanted to do is I want to speak to people in a huge range of professions and walks of life. And how do you define success? And what are some of the things you do to achieve success? So whether they are business owners, parents, teachers, creatives, and I'm having some amazing conversations with people, and some are just talking about how, for them, success they define as freedom. Because the way I started is the first question is always, how do you define success? And then whatever comes up becomes the basis of the conversation. And yeah, it's very, very interesting looking at how some people define success. And what I see, there are some people who will never achieve success because they don't have it quite defined, yet they're driven to achieve it. And so there's this, it's almost like a motor that's going to burn out because it's always on and always going versus going, look what I have achieved, regardless of how I said it. But look at the amazing things that I have achieved with my life. And everyone's done some really cool things and everyone's hasn't achieved quite what they want in certain phases. And so it is about just celebrating the amazing success that you've had. Sometimes just getting up out of bed is worth celebrating because there's some days you just don't want to. And as you all know, Jane, just being able to talk sometimes is worth success, celebrating.
Let's not talk about my laryngitis that I had this week. but you're absolutely right. When it comes to success, some people define success by other people's metrics. That's the problem. And they think, oh, maybe I need, you know, the red Ferrari, or I need more money, or I need more of this, that, or the other, or the big house, etc. But to be quite honest, how much is enough for each individual? And it's been proven that the happiest people often don't have very much.
Yeah.
They just be, and they're very grateful for what they've got. And they realize, to me, success is having a happy family, no issues, good friends, you know, sharing time with them and having the time to be able to just be, because sometimes you're just so busy doing things that you tend to forget. So I bet you have some really interesting comments.
Look, some great stuff because people forget they're a human being, not a human doing. And they are this constant striving, and it's like, well, he who dies with the most toys is still dead. You know, and life is too important to take seriously. So you have to enjoy it along the way and have a bit of fun. No one gets out alive. And most people won't remember you after you're dead. Give it 10 years, they'll forget. Even the famous people, give them 10, 15 years and they'll be like, oh, who is that again?
Oh, it's unless you're Elvis. Unless you're Elvis, and then
you
never
die. Ask anyone under the age of 20 who Elvis is, and there'll be many people got no idea.
Oh, those young ones.
Oh, no. I turned into a grumpy old man. Those bloody young people, I don't understand.
Now your age is showing. Okay. Now, hang on. Tell me more about your speaking business now, because you're a sought-after MC. So tell me a little bit about that, because I want people to be able to know where to find you as well.
Great. So my business, you know, is and it's, you know, warwickmerry.com. You know, it's I am a business. I'm actually not a business. I'm a practice. I'll never be able to sell my business because it relies on me. So I'm a practice. So my branding is pretty much warwickmerry.com, and you can find out all everything that you're after. And my Twitter handle is at warwickmerry. You know, and so for me, a lot of my business, if not most of it, is as an MC, and that is hosting different events, be they small corporate groups or large corporate functions. I recently hosted some black tie award nights up in Mackay. There was about 700 people there. The local business awards happened, so I hosted that. So, and it is about, it's about energy management. A lot of people think, oh, it's an MC, you just read the thing, it's easy. Yeah, but it's not, because you've got to manage the energy in the room, and particularly awards night, because there's a lot of foofing where you've got to take the photos and get it all happening. And so there's pauses. So it's, I've got to keep entertaining a little bit while that's all going on and build up the energy for the grand announcement, and also just deal with anything that happens. And my lawks a lordy, things do happen.
I know. And you know what? I'm very excited, because I know Gillian Bullock and I will be having you as our MC for our LinkedIn Local Sydney big event in October. And
yay.
I'm so excited, because that's going to be wonderful to have you manage the group, because, you know, like when Gillian and I talk, we tend to go a bit off track as well. So you can keep us in line this time, which would be
excellent.
Really amazing. And so now what I'm going to do, Warwick, is in my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com, I'll have all of your links so people can just click through and go and check you out, because you're such an interesting gentleman. And do you want to leave us with any final thoughts?
Final thoughts of wisdom. Dun, dun, dun. Look, I'm a big fan of celebrating success. I believe that if you can make celebrating success a habit, you'll make success a habit. So don't make it just the great big things, once I've done this. Break it down into little chunks and celebrate along the way. And it can be as simple as, you know, celebrating that you've turned up for work on a particular day. Other days, it's celebrating some of the small achievements you've got. And if you can have, I recommend creating what I call a celebration shopping list of different events or things that you might do, and then matching it with your to-do list. You know, so if it's a small thing on your to-do list, it becomes a small reward. So as you get into the habit of celebrating success, you'll just naturally attract success towards you and be more inspired to work for it.
Inspiring words. Thank you so much, Warwick Merry. You've got the perfect surname, because, you know, you just feel happy being around you as well.
Thank you so really much.
Good. Well, I have to have you back on the show again. Thank you for your time today. I know you're rushing off for another major event this afternoon. So thank you for your time today, and we will talk to you again very soon. If you enjoyed this podcast, look for Your Career Podcast on iTunes and leave a review. And for all the career management support you need to create your dream career, visit janejacksoncoach.com and join my Careers Academy for live career webinars, group coaching, one-on-one coaching support, as well as my online career development courses. Isn't it time you found your dream job?
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my Career Success Program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.